Joe, the Real American Headcast, is the code name for Aaron's daring, highly trained headcast. Its purpose? To podcast about G.I. Joe, Fighting Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
Welcome back to G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast. This time out, we're going to talk about issue 18 of G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero. And joining me today, I have returning guest host, Mr. Pat Sampson. Hey there, Pat.
Hello, Aaron. And hello, everybody out there.
And also joining us for this episode, unfortunately, due to contracts and agreements I've already signed, we brought back Jared Albert, the Yard Sale Artist.
Pat, it's a prescription for danger.
You will all bow before me.
I make that mistake all the time. Anyways, welcome back. Glad to have you guys back to talk a little G.I. Joe.
Always happy to talk, Joe.
And this time out, we're going to talk about G.I. Joe, as I said, issue number 18. The cover date on this was December of 1983. The on-sale date was September the 6th, 1983. This can be bought for 60 cents. The title was Destro Returns. Writer, as usual, Larry Hama. Penciler, Mike Vosburgh. Inker, John DiGnosto. Letterer, Edward Norton. Really? Ed Norton?
Norton!
Come down here.
Coming down.
What's the matter, Ralph? Alice Marlin Pound?
Exactly, pal, and she's the worst by far.
I say she ain't as bad as mine.
Ha ha hardy, ha ha! Ha ha!
Tell him, Ralph,
I'm telling you, Norton.
Colors George.
Humana.
George Russo's, I'm gonna say. This, and the cover was done by Mike Vosburgh and John DiGnosto. This was reprinted in G.I. Joe Comics Magazine number 7, which was that little two or three issue book they put out.
That's what I've got.
Issues per book, which I had that at one time, and G.I. Joe Volume 2 trade paperback, which came out in 2002. The synopsis. Bear with me, a lot happens in here. Once again, we start out with the APC headed towards Coney Island. The APC contains Hawk, Scarlet, Stalker, Clutch, Torpedo, and Rock and Roll. After Hawk spies Scarface arriving in a taxi, he shares with the group the postcard that he received from Snake Eyes telling him to meet them there. He gives Scarlet the card, as there is a PS on there, which lets her know that it really is Snake Eyes. Rock and Roll and Torpedo uses the Manta to get to the shore, while the rest of the team approaches an APC. Both sets of teams see a jet approaching the roller coaster. In the jet, the pilot uses the vertical takeoff and landing to let Destro off the top of the roller coaster. Why the top? Why not? In a pink caddy, Quinn and Snake Eyes arrive at Coney Island. As the APC lands ashore, Snake Eyes sees Destro on top of the roller coaster. As Rock and Roll and Destro leave their mana with a couple of ladies, Scarface starts the coaster to try and hit Destro, who destroys the cart with his wrist-mounted rocket launchers. At this point, Quinn and Snake Eyes bust in on Scarface to get Dr. Venom's location from him. They do, and then Quinn gives him the keys to the Cadillac. Destro and the Joes do a little fighting as Scarface escapes. Destro steals an ice cream truck, and the APC takes off in pursuit. Destro grabs Scarface after the Joes take out the caddy, which in turn explodes, knocking the APC to its side. Destro and Scarface hijack a plane to Libya, while Hawk mobilizes the entire team to go after it, with a little bit of a roll call. In Libya, Destro and Scarface meet up with Dr. Venom, who injects the trooper with the virus that we talked about a couple issues ago. In Tripoli, Scarface overhears Commander, Destro, and Dr. Venom talking about their plan to use him to affect the Joes. The Cobras are in a convoy. The Joes infiltrate it and abscond with Scarface. Destro makes a token attempt to retrieve Scarface, but the Joes escape with a drugged Scarface, who they plan on keeping drugged until they reach G.I. Joe headquarters. To be continued. So, Jared.
Yes.
As I say the name, I bow my head and just shake like, oh, what am I doing?
Yes. What can I do for you, sir?
Jared, this issue. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
I enjoy this issue, as I have been enjoying this story arc. We've talked about, I think, a couple times now in past episodes about, I think we all enjoy this story arc and how all of the things come together. From my notes, I have, of course, we have the mysterious postscript that only Scarlet understands, verifies Snake Eyes' identity. I think we all have some guesses about what that might say. Most of mine are lewd and amusing, but I will leave that alone. One of my favorite moments comes from...
Maybe he gives her a recipe.
That's probably what it is. It's probably a recipe.
Something they share
for
together.
Danger.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, there it goes. Hey-o. Yeah.
That's
something that brings a tear to her eye.
You are correct, sir.
One of my other favorite moments happens on that same page. The guy with using the VTOL, vertical takeoff and landing, is about to drop Destro off. And then he says, hey, I see the Joes approaching the sea. Would you like me to strafe them? And Destro's like, nah. Just go back to Springfield or whatever. And I'm like, wait, what? Why would you waste that opportunity? I've got a plane. I've got guns. I've got bombs. They're sitting ducks. And he's just like, nah, we'll take a pass on that. I think Destro's going to regret that decision.
Because he's got wrist rockets.
You give a guy wrist rockets, he thinks he can do anything. Yeah. I'm going to talk about those wrist rockets in just a second. My next note says that Torpedo and Rock and Roll did all right for themselves. I think we all know what I'm talking about there. I've got, once again, it looks to me like every image of Torpedo disguises whether or not he's wearing flippers.
Yes.
There's no angles that show his maybe possibly flippered feet, which is we should like have a whole segment on the show. This week in Torpedo's feet.
Flipper or no flippers? You decide.
Yeah, I may start that segment.
What's up with Torpedo? And we're going to come back. I'm going to come back to Torpedo in just one second. Let's see, on page 9. That's where we're going to talk. I'm going to come back to those wrist rockets.
Yes.
Because Destro's like, take cover. We'll see who takes cover first. And he fires it, and the world's smallest explosion goes off in front of the Joes. And they are diving like it's the friggin' biggest attack ever. And it's like a little pop. It's like, pop! I thought it was like, you couldn't have drawn that explosion bigger, added a sound effect or something, but it looks like so anticlimactic. It looks like he threw one of those little things you throw on the ground, little snappers.
Yes.
That amused me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think someone dropped the ball on drawing that explosion there. Yeah, they're all diving for the dirt. All, pop, pop.
Okay. You gotta love a book. You've gotta love a book where like an APC is chasing a pink caddy that's chasing an ice cream.
You got me on me, love machine. Aw, 10-4 pig pen. For sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Taco Town. Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
That was a lot of fun. My favorite little amusing moment / error in the book is when they go to get on the C-130 and they're doing the roll call. And they're like, Clutch, Scarlet, Stalker, Airborne, Wild Bill, Ace. That's not Ace. That's Torpedo.
Torpedo, yep.
And then in the next panel, they say, what happened to Torpedo? And I'm like, that's what I want to know. He was literally just there. You called him the wrong name. And now he's gone. aside from that, from there on into the book is pretty straightforward. Kind of cool how they use they snuck right up on the convoy using the big dust kickups. And obviously kind of cool the way I'd forgotten this story detail about how they, injected, Scarface, right?
Right.
And basically made him a biological bomb. So I'd forgotten that. So I'm like really interested in seeing what comes next, but that's it for my notes. I will hand it over, to my podcasting partner, Pat Sampson, this is your show, Aaron, you can hand it to him.
No, go ahead. Yeah. Feel free.
All right.
Hand away.
Make it happen, Pat. Don't let me down.
All right. Well, thank you for that. A few of my notes that I wrote down is I liked the use of the APC right away. It's a cool vehicle, I thought. Just them kind of trolling in the waters of around Coney Island. It's like, doesn't anybody recognize that, hey, there's this amphibious device here just kind of roaming around? Wouldn't that look odd?
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
A little bit. And as I said, the beach, maybe not be too populated, but yeah, pulling up on the shore, there is more people's interested in an ice cream truck than an APC pulling out of the water.
Yeah. I just thought it's cool just to see that vehicle, you know, kind of in, hey, it can do this, and it can, another, you know, ad placement for the toys.
Of course. On that page I was talking about, there are a couple of people, it looks like there may be a couple of people pointing towards it. So it is drawing some attention if you look at that.
Good point.
Yeah.
Existence, but yeah, page 5 maybe.
Yep, page 5.
There, mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like there's a handful of people actually pointing at it. So actually, it is drawing some attention. So
yeah, I like the more insight with the letter, the PS moment where you see Scarlett. She's got a little tear coming down out of her eye. You know, like I said, not sure what he wrote. Jared has his thoughts. Mine's a recipe. I don't know what yours is, Aaron.
Maybe tell with the little birthmark that's on her.
So your thoughts are similar to my thoughts. I got you.
A little stamp somewhere.
P.S. Let's talk. Scarlett makes chipmunk noises when she's excited. Now you got to edit that out.
I don't know if I have to.
Let's talk torpedo.
Let's do that.
Let's talk torpedo.
Fins, no fins.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but I'm like, hey, Torpedo finally gets a chance to use his flippers, but they don't show it.
They don't
show it. And, you know, another toy placement with the Manta.
Very cool. I had the Manta.
Was that a mail-in?
I think it was. I want to say, Jason, I got that in the mail.
I can't remember if that was a mail-in or not.
That might have been a Flag Point mail-in.
It's still a little cool, but with Torpedo, it's like, okay, Torpedo, do you really need to have your mask on? Rock and Roll doesn't. You're on the same device.
Look, man, he's got a costume and he's sticking with it.
Yeah, I understand that. I just...
You're afraid if you didn't have the mask and the fins and the scuba tank on, you might not be able to who he is.
I like, then when they pull up on the beach, he's like, hey, ladies, you mind watching our expensive military equipment?
Did all right for euphism. Themselves, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all right. Is that euphism for something?
Then later.
Real quick, let me interrupt you. Jared, have you ever used that line?
I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't?
Sorry, Pat, go ahead.
No, that's an interesting story. I'd like to know, in the military, you know, what's the best pickup line for civilians?
Oh, I'll get back to you.
Okay. Then when they show Torpedo and Rock and Roll kind of running up, you know, he's still got his mask on. He's losing a lot of air. I mean, is he actually, when he really needs it, is his tank going to run out of air?
I would have thought that those three lovely ladies would have been reason enough to, like, take that mask off and flash a charming smile. But, you know, sure. He's all business. He's all business.
Yeah.
You said that about Torpedo. Yes, he is all business.
I like the other part is the Murray, the ice cream guy's comment. He makes two comments, one about Scarface and one about Destro, both about their faces, which are kind of hilarious. I like that point. Other than that, the story, it moves along. Are there not one of the best issues, I guess I would say. but it was a quick read through and moving the story along. One note that I wanted to that I did catch, and I had to go back to the issue before, is when you see Quinn, he's got weasel skulls on, but he doesn't have that in the issue before.
Oh, he maybe just found them. He's like, oh, where did I leave my weasel skull? Oh, here they are.
Oh, they're in the Cadillac. Weasel skull. Yeah, he picks up this necklace, but he didn't have it in before. So I'm like, oh, that's where did he get the weasel skull necklaces from? And wouldn't they have when they picked him up and put him in jail in the last issue, wouldn't they have taken that from him?
Yes, they would have. I'm scrolling back right now through the last issue. Look, he didn't even dawn on me that he was missing his weasel skull necklace. Oh, maybe he kept it in his other boot. I don't know.
Yeah. See, Christados has got an eye for something's wrong there. I'm going to find it.
Something's amiss.
Amiss, yes. Doesn't feel right to me. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other before I finish my song?
Yeah, I'm going to say the artist, either on last issue messed up by drawing it, or he did on this issue by including it. One of the two.
I mean, I think we can all agree, though, that weasel skulls are better than no weasel skulls.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yeah. It makes them look tougher and cooler.
I wish I had a weasel skull necklace. That's not true entirely.
I think I know somebody that might be able to get you one. I like Scarface is just kind of hanging out in this little abandoned. I don't know. Is it abandoned? Do they not people not ride this? I couldn't figure that out.
I don't know. He's definitely squatting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the beach is open.
Yeah, it's an open beach. Why aren't they?
I don't see any signs anywhere saying that. Well, though it is locked. There's a chain on it, so maybe it's closed for repairs or something.
Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry.
What? And the title being the Return of Destro?
Destro Returns.
Yeah, I don't think it was really a big return for him. I was expecting a little more action, I guess, but to me, it didn't seem like it was a big where he's taking over things and that.
Yeah, I don't know where that name came from, because yeah, it's not him returning. For him. He's been showing up in the books. This was continuation from last month when he hopped in the plane to take off to Coney Island. So.
Yeah, but
I mean, the continuation of Destro just doesn't sound cool.
Yeah.
Death Returns does sound cooler. So maybe that's
the ongoing day to day of Destro.
But I like how they're using Scarface to penetrate the pit.
I'm sorry.
Dr. Venom and Cobra Commander are all kind of they're all in on this scheme here that they want to take out the Joes and get to it. I didn't know the Joes had a sub.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They never did market one, did they?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe they're just borrowing a ride from the local Navy guys.
Yeah. Possibly.
That's all I got. Like I said, it's an all right issue for me. Continues on the story. I'm looking for what's going to happen next.
Most definitely. I like you. It was a good story, but yeah, it wasn't what it could have been.
Yeah, it's missing something, and I don't know what it is.
It kept the wheels turning, but it doesn't really.
I think that's what it is.
Give us a lot.
It's the middle of the story. It's the story's already going on. The story's not ending here. They're setting up, with infiltrating Scarface in with the virus in them. But, I mean, other than that, there's not a lot that actually goes on other than, again, just taking up places and pieces for the next issue. And I think that's your problem with it, is that I mean, it does let Scarlet know that Snake Eyes is still alive.
Yeah, that and the other team, they know too. So that's
it lets us know that it was a Rock and Roll and Torpedo Ladies Man. You know, they have chicks on the beach.
It gives you a little more character insight into Snake Eyes as well, too. I mean, with him making the decision, do I go back to the team or do I continue on with Quinn?
Right.
You know, you can see that where he's somewhat of a, hey, I'm a loner. I'll fight as a team and I'll do what I can, but I got my own agenda going on as well, too. So, man of mystery.
Very much so. You know, I like Quinn. I think I like it. After they bust down the door and he tells them where Scarface or where Dr. Venom's at, instead of turning him over to the Joes, he just tosses him the key to the Cadillac and says, get out of here. And Snake Eyes just stand by and lets him go.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I think he's got...
It seems, being a Joe, he should have maybe stopped him for the Joes, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah,
it's like he's not... Where he was at.
Yeah. It's like he's kind of playing both ends here right now.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's up with that, but... And and going back to your comments about the ABC showing up on the beach, they actually do have people commenting on it. One person's like, look, a garbage gal with wheels. Don't get too close, Timmy. You'll catch a disease.
Oh, Larry knew how to put in little funny lines. Larry was good at little funny lines like that.
Oh yeah, like that same page when they're pulling to the beach. You think he's gonna be overjoyed to see Quinn and Snake Eyes? This is a very viable reunion of the Have It In for Scarface Club. Again, as Larry Hama, he's as we've said before, he's a great writer. He's got funny lines in here. He's got some act. Like I said not action packed, but there is some action. I mean, we got Destro blowing up the roller coaster, and then shooting a little pop thing at the ground. We get the high speed chase on how high speed it is with an ice cream truck and ABC. Okay, we get the pink Cadillac being followed by the ice cream truck, followed by the APC.
Speeds of up to 42 miles per hour.
Let's put the pedal to the metal clutch. Yeah, catch up that Joker. No problem. You just stop him from chucking grenades at us. I'll catch up to him. So, you got those grenades or those more of his wrist rockets he's firing out. Again, a little bit of a larger explosion.
Do you think Destro carries some other wrist rockets like in his pockets or something once he uses all of them?
You think he's got a rocket in his pocket?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I don't know what he's got in his pocket, but yeah, that's Baron about that one. But here, like on page 14 or so, when we show up, he's talking to he's on the plane and he's calling ahead about their landing clearance. It looks like his wrist rockets are refilled.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering if
maybe he does have somewhere on him back, you know, his back pocket's got a bunch of rockets or again, maybe that's why Baroness is so impressed with him. I don't know. But and I didn't catch that until I think what Jared commented about Ace being misidentified because he's kind of in shadow. So I thought maybe that was his pilot here or something. But yeah, that does actually, now that you mentioned, does look like Torpedo.
Yeah, if you look at Ace later on, too, he's got a much bigger helmet and stuff. So, yeah.
I'm thinking the artist probably drew this before.
Yeah, yeah.
The lettering was written in and whoever has penciled it in.
Mistakes were made.
You know, Ace. Yeah. And, you know, I could give that a break at this time because it's still, you know, 18 issues in and they're still working on these figures and all that. So,
yeah.
I'm trying to, you know. Place these figures into
most definitely.
Yeah, it's just fun to go back, you know, at the time as a kid and reading it earlier on and not looking at it with adult eyes and just right. You know, I loved it. I wouldn't have, probably would have passed that over like it was nothing, but
I think it was written and drawn. They weren't expecting, you know, 30-40-year-old geeks
yeah.
sitting there well, looking every detail and
technically, that does not look like Torpedo.
Exactly. He wasn't expecting that. So I guess you can't really blame him too much for, you know. And again, it's not a huge mistake. It doesn't ruin anything. He's just kind of like, oh, okay, let's mess up. But, you know.
I just like how, like, immediately the next panel, they're like, where's Torpedo?
Yeah, it is.
I thought he was just there.
Yeah, it's not even on the next page. It's right below it. In fact, what happened to Rapido is right below.
Yep.
Rapido's pitch, right in his head. It's like, what would it be? He's right above your last panel. Look.
Well, if you'll
overall, yeah, go ahead.
If you'll indulge me for a minute, we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive into Torpedo.
Sure. Oh.
Because I know you have me on the show for military authenticity.
Yes.
Torpedo is a bit of a mystery here because if you're familiar with his file card, he's actually a warrant officer, which puts him on a rank on par with Flint. So okay. He should pretty much always be because everyone else on the team is an enlisted troop with the exception of Hawk, who's a colonel. So the chain of command should really be Hawk, Torpedo, and so forth. So it's,
shouldn't Shipwreck be in there somewhere?
I don't remember if Shipwreck was an officer, but I think his parrot was.
As we talked about last episode.
Yeah, Shipwreck just busted in and taking a control thing. But yeah, so it's like very bizarre from a rank standpoint. And then just as an aside, you know, like especially in modern day comics, it's very – one of the things that's sort of in the very forefront of comics is, you know – diversity and inclusion and things like that, and a lot of people don't know because he never takes off his dang gear, but Torpedo's a Pacific Islander, and that's one of the always the great things about the old Joe comics. It's like I think it's amusing how like in modern day comics, like I said, diversity and inclusion is like this big thing, but Joe was doing it back in the 80s because that's very representative of the military. The military is a very big melting pot, and so I just always thought it was cool. But I was like, you've got like this kind of cool representative character, because let's be honest. I mean, if I told you to name a handful of Pacific Islander comic book characters, it's going to be a short conversation. Right. So I thought it was just kind of weird. Like, you know, let's see him. let's see Torpedo.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just probably easier to draw a face mask and a breather. But anyway, that's today's deep dive with Torpedo.
But yeah, I guess, like I said, it is easier to draw the breather and the mask instead. But it does, again, I guess a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid reading this, though, back in the 80s when it came out, they're not going to really be thinking about, why doesn't he have his mask off?
Yeah.
Again, that's for us nerds.
Again, it's for 40-year-olds to go. Well, from a diversity point of view, I just want to play with toys.
But they're not being very diverse because they won't show his face. They keep his mask on all the time. What is Larry Hama's problem? He's a bad writer.
That's right. He's obviously anti-Pacific Islander.
But, yeah, no, I – but having said that, yes, in case Larry does listen to this, I will wax his car once again, as Rob and Shag says. I love Larry Hama's work on this. I just think it's magnificent writing. Like I say, it's got some action. It's got some humor. It's got, you know.
Yeah, well,
with
definitely.
With Scarlet's little, you know, little tear to her eye there when she hears Snake Eyes back. It's got some romance, if you will.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of everything. Well, not one of my top 10 comics. It is, I would rank it a little better than just good. I think it's a little better than that. But
would either of you guys like to guess when I was at my last Comic-Con in Tallahassee, when I went to lunch, who was in the lunch line right in front of me?
Larry Hama?
It was Larry Hama. Name drops, son!
Yeah, wow, name drops.
We actually walked over there together, me and my new best friend Larry, and you know, he's a fun guy.
Well, your best friend, you got to get on the show.
Hey, wait, didn't I get a voice drop from him for you? Come on now.
I love that. I giggled like a little schoolgirl when I got that.
I did. So I giggled like a schoolgirl when he did it for me.
Hi, I'm Larry Hama, and you're listening to G.I. Joe, a real American headcast. Yo, Joe.
Again, I do thank you for that. I'm just calling you out on your name dropping there.
Oh, no, that's part of the show now. I got to keep cooking these dang stories up.
Someone needs to call you on it.
I was from watching The Toys That Made Us. If you haven't watched that Joe episode yet,
that was so good.
Yeah, I know. Just the background with Larry on there, and he was on MASH. I'm like, oh wow, how interesting is that?
Yeah,
I heard that before somewhere, but yeah, I forgot. Then I remember that now. Yeah, I watched the first episode, and then I had to watch the G.I. Joe episode because, it's G.I. Joe.
I wish they would have done more though on this line of the figures. They kind of went with the older Joe too. So, but I wish
everything.
Yeah. I wish they would do a lot more
while we're waxing Larry's car. If you ever if you ever get a chance and he's doing a show in your neck of the woods, make him like your first stop, because what he does is he puts out like a notepad and you just sign up on his notepad for which G.I. Joe character you want and he will sketch it for you. And it's and it's unless his prices go up between last time I saw him, which was a couple months ago, and now, it's $40. It's $40.
Oh, cool.
He's only got a handful of characters that, that he won't do, but he'll do almost any other character. And it's a, I think that's a tremendous deal. I've got a Beachhead because Beachhead's my favorite. But, yeah, if you ever get a chance to do a show with him, make him your first stop. Get on the list early. And then on the flip side of that, then also make him your last stop, because what he does is he has a fire sale for people that don't show back up to pick up their sketches. And you can get them at a discount. Okay. my table was like catty corner from his at Dragon Con. And I went over and I told him, I said, because he told me about the fire sale. And I said, I don't care how many sketches are left when this is done. I'm buying them all. Don't have a fire sale. Just bring them directly to my table. And unfortunately, everyone picked up their sketches. But yeah, again, we're waxing Larry's car, but man, that's a great deal. $40 for the legend. He's a pretty good penciler, by the way.
Personally, I think his car deserves to be waxed because, again, he does, did such a great job in this series. Like I say, the first few issues were kind of hit and miss, but issue 10 to 12, he started to pick up his game. And
yeah, he found his footing and the voice of the characters.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And again, yeah, I don't mean nothing bad by that, by the first issue. I know he's just he's getting his voice. He was figuring out what the characters are.
Yeah, I think.
But yeah, so yeah. By issue 12, yeah, he was getting rolling, and he had the backstories and the subplots going.
I think Marvel realized, and the toy company realized, hey, if we got something going on here with this, you know, this grouping, this marriage that we have of toys and the comic, there's something going on because we're selling the toys like hotcakes. And the comics are doing well as well, too. So once they let Larry just kind of take control and move that along, I think that really boosted the toy sale as well.
I think you're absolutely right. I missed earlier, Aaron. Have you seen the episode, Toys That Made Us?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw the first episode, and I saw the G.I. Joe episode.
Nice. They're all good. The He-Man one is also excellent, but this is not a He-Man podcast.
No, I'm going to watch the Barbie and the He-Man one at some point. It's just... time.
Understood. Yeah. But that was a cool behind the scenes how like they fleshed out all the like the original Joes, and then they were like, okay, who do they fight? And nobody had thought of that.
Cobra?
And I think it was like, didn't he say it was like Archie Goodwin, I think, might have been the guy who was like, Cobra?
Somebody, yeah.
It was. All right, let's do it.
And then there you go. The legend is born.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, like many episodes. Maybe I wasn't even on the episode, but going back to that first wave of figures, that would explain why there was two Cobras. Mm-hmm. And they were fairly generic.
Yeah, no, they were fairly
generic. Was there two or were there three? There was like Cobra Officer, Cobra Infantryman. Was Cobra Commander in the first wave? I can't remember.
I think he was a male, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, we're far afield. Larry Hama rules. The toys are awesome. Watch the Netflix show. Go buy stuff from Larry.
I agree all the way around.
Yep.
And while we're talking, I'm kind of vamping as I'm going back over to the Yojo site to look.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's your thing. As soon as we plant a seed, you're off to check it out.
Yeah, there's two Cobra figures, the two officers or whatever. The officer and the Cobra Trooper.
Yep.
And then Cobra Commander was the mail-in.
Mail-in. Okay, cool. Good job on the homework. You're the man.
That's what I do. Yeah, I hear something. I'll be laying there about the wife. We'll be watching TV, and something will come up. And before I jump up around to the front of my computer, now I put my phone. And
yeah.
You're looking that up, aren't you? Yes, I am. Leave me alone.
That's Aaron Head Moss, the West Coast Web.
West Coast Web, codename Mainframe.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's sort of related to the dark web, but not really. Yeah. I'm the light web.
You're on the West Coast, the dark web's on the East Coast.
Yes. Well, there you go, we got it covered. But again, yeah, unless you guys have any other thoughts about G.I. Joe issue number 18, Pat, any final thoughts on this issue?
Cover-wise,
Oh, I forgot the, thank you. I forgot about the cover.
All right. Well, let's go into that then.
Thank you for reminding me. So do you want to describe the cover?
Sure, I can. Let me just get to it.
I have handy ICM.
Yeah, the cover-wise, we have G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, across the top, that iconic G.I. Joe graph. Basically, it's Cobra Commander and Destro kind of with his doing his best Captain Morgan stand there with a nice rifle in his hand. In the background, we see some of the other Joes on a monitor in a looks like to be a computer control room. That they're looking at. Overall, I like it's a decent ish decent cover. Colors are pretty good on it, I think. Is it one of my top covers? No, not really, but it does its job. How about you, Aaron?
Well, real quick, on a scale of 1 to 5 Joe Colas, with 1 being is actually horrible, 2 being it's not too bad, 3 being a decent cover, 4 being, that's pretty good. And 5 being, I would love to get this signed by the artist and hang this on my wall. What would you rate this?
I'm going to...
No Joe Colas.
I'd do 3. It's, yeah. The art is good. I like it. You know, you got Destro. What really makes it for me is Destro over there with his chest beer and that medallion just kind of hanging there. Like, I'm ready to rock this. And he's in his Captain Morgan stand.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm going to put it up front. I agree with you. I'm going to give it a 3 also. Give it 3 Yo-Yo Colas.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I do like I said, the Joes aren't really detailed. You can see Duke and a couple other guys there. I'm assuming maybe that's supposed to be Scarface they have. It's hard to tell. It's just someone with their back to his hands on their head.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it's Scarface, but it could be anybody. But I do like, yeah, like you said, Destro on the Captain Morgan foot up. I don't know why he's got his foot propped up, but that kind of makes this cover. I remember this cover because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I assume this cover is one of those like 2 minutes before covers, and the next scene we would see is the console destroyed, Cobra Commander's beating with a chair or something, he's throwing his fit.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Yeah, it's like, ah! And screaming like a girl.
Jared, your thoughts on this cover?
I'll start with a score. I think I would give it a 3. Again, it's, like Pat said, it's not terribly remarkable as far as anybody looking outstanding or any amazing action that's going on. It's kind of fairly static.
Mm-hmm.
I like the ink style, probably because it's similar to my own. With heavy, it's very heavy inked. If you look at the figures, lots of heavy blacks, which I like. And full props to the artist and inker for all that computer detail background. It looks almost Jack Kirby-ish with a lot of time and effort put into the background, which unfortunately, and I'm using the digest, so I don't know if my color pop, this is famous for not having the same color pop as what you guys have. Mine falls a little flat. Like all the background is either yellow, orange, or red.
Like the main console is yellow, the bottom of it is orange, and then you got some on the sides going up to the logo. It's like a red orange.
Yeah. Okay. So we're very similar.
Purple in the middle.
Yeah. And monitor. Yeah, I don't really know how I would color it any better, but for some reason it just doesn't all come together with a pop. But it's not awful. So giving it a 3. You can see the effort that went into it, especially in the background. So I give it a 3.
It's not a bad cover, but it suits its purpose.
Yeah, it's not one of those Joe covers that you just immediately think of when you think about Joe comics.
Yeah.
Right. All right, well, it gives us a 3 all the way around. That's not bad. Well, I guess we're going to take a break. This is Yo-Yo Colas herself, and we'll be right back to talk about the cartoon.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Attention, attention all personnel. New from the Fire and Water Podcast Network, it's MASHcast. Hosted by MASH mega fan Rob Kelly and a rotating cast of VIPs, MASHcast analyzes episode by episode the greatest television series of all time, MASH. Find MASHcast on fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Jocularity! What's up, everybody? This is Mr. Throwback Thursday from the Mr. Throwback Thursday podcast, along with my co-host Bill. Every Thursday, we bring you classic hip-hop.
Classic.
Classic. You know, all the good stuff, the stuff that you forgot about, the golden age, pre-golden age, back to the original era.
For all the pioneers, I'm going way back, way back, way back.
Each week, we bring you hip-hop headlines, so we let you know what's going on with your favorite artists from back in the day. We bring you Wu News. We dedicate an entire segment just to the Wu-Tang Clan every week.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
We bring you two records. One is a one and done. One is a record of the week. We give you an artist of the month. We give you all the classics.
Classic.
Classic.
Come and check us out. Every week we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and at MrThrowbackThursday.com. And if you remember nothing else, always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
And welcome back from the break. Let's go ahead and go into the cartoon.
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe,
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up, he'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe.
Episode 6, Countdown for Zartan. Hey guys, me and the guys have talked about before the show. Again, this is labeled episode 6. I always refer to it as the first episode, but as we've talked about, apparently the weather dominator that we just talked about last 5 months was actually, or not the weather dominator, the Pyramid of Darkness was actually the intro to the series. This was written by Ron Friedman. This first aired on September the 23rd of 1985. Our synopsis? The story starts with the Dreadnoks training three new Cobras, until Storm Shadow shows him the power of a ninja. Destro and Cobra Commander watch on. Walking back, Destro says how good Storm Shadow is and how worthless the Dreadnoks are. Commander says that the Dreadnoks are worth more than Destro realizes. As they enter a room, we see the real Cobra Commander waiting. We find out that Zartan was impersonating the Commander. Zartan and the Dreadnoks are sent to kidnap Dr. Matea from France, with Zartan taking his place. Matea is working with the Worldwide Defense Center to try and end terrorism. As Dr. Matea meets his team and Spirit, Spirit is suspicious of the Doctor. Him and Freedom follow the Doctor, who they find is meeting with Storm Shadow, who gives Zartan a bomb. As Spirit and Storm Shadow do a little fight-fight, Zartan gets away and plants the bomb. Freedom, meanwhile, flies off to get help from the other Joes, who show up at the WWDC. They see Dr. Matea acting suspicious, as Freedom flies over and rips off his mask, revealing Zartan. The Joes lock Zartan within the WWDC until he reveals the location of the bomb. Storm Shadow tells the Commander that Zartan was in the building when the Joes stormed it, and Destro says since he's so clever, he can free himself. The Joes comb the building, and Zartan watches the timer gung-ho left for him. Meanwhile, the Dreadnoks are torturing Spirit and the real Dr. Matea. Lady J is about to clear the Joes and Zartan from the building, as they can't find the bomb. Gung-ho says, give him a few more minutes. He's expecting something. As the timer on the watch counts down to a minute to go, Zartan tells the Joes where the bomb is. Back at Cobra HQ, Storm Shadow sends the Dreadnoks away, as he feels enemies shouldn't be treated in that fashion. Back with the Joes, the timer hits zero. The Joes find the bomb and defuse it with seconds to spare. Gung-ho reveals that he set Zartan's watch ahead 2 minutes. Back with the snakes, Spirit pulls out a knife that he had hidden in his headband to free himself and the Doctor. Back with the Joes, Zartan uses the Vulcan nerve pinch to take out the Doc when he comes to check on the Chameleon. Zartan lasers the power room. Spirit escapes in a Rattler, somehow taking out the Cobra base, leaving Storm Shadow to walk away, vowing that him and Spirit will meet again. Back in the dark WWDC, Stalker flips the auxiliary power lighting the room and weakening Zartan as Cobra Commander and the Cobras attack. The three new Cobra troopers use their training that they receive from the Dreadnoughts, and of course they still get taken out. A narrow battle ensues with the Joe stopping Cobras. The episode ends with Gung-Ho talking about making his gumbo, and Spirit offering his portion to Freedom. The end. And Mr. Pat Sampson, what are your thoughts on this issue? Or this episode?
Well, I'm going to go through my notes here that I had. These cartoons, they're cartoons. I suppose they're not as, you know, you're not going to see a lot of anybody dying, things like no one's really going to get hurt. So they're a little more on the funnier side, I guess, than the comic is. That's kind of my perspective when I look at this. So here's what's in my notes. The beginning, you have the opening where the Dreadnoughts are trying to teach Larry, Moe, and Curly how to be either Dreadnoughts or, you know, they're up and coming Cobra officers. I like that they have like these masks, so, you know, they know that they're rookies or whatever they have you. And then, of course, then Storm Shadow showing them the way of the ninja, and he's trying to teach them balance. And then one of the guys falls over and they all tilt everybody over. So, like I said, a little comedy there that is put in. But I like it when Destro and the fake Cobra Commander, they go into the pyramid, and they're, you know, Cobra's so cool and he's got so much money that they make it so lazy that they just have these, you know, the moving sidewalks for him to walk around in the Cobra temple.
I guess you term, yeah, they got money to waste on useless things, so
I like how they do show you, you know, Zartan and how he is supposed to be like the chameleon, the guy that can dress up like different people and play different parts. That's interesting. I like when they go to the center there. I can't remember what the place is called again. The
WWDC.
WWD. Okay. When they go there, I'm like, well, who allows pets at work? That this bird is just kind of this bird's just kind of, the eagle is hanging around there. The bomb, I like, again, Cobra is still having his money. Likes to make sure things are labeled correctly, even his bombs.
Gotta have labels.
Doc, when they pan to him reading, he's reading a comic book that says comics clearly across it. But then I had to pause it so I can get the book, the name of the book that he put his feet on is Biochemical and Analysis, Modern Medicine and Chemistry Books, that he keeps his feet up on, and he's preferring to read a comic book.
I can't blame him there.
No, not my kind of doc. Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, Freedom is, I have Freedom is the new Lassie.
He
goes and cries for help and goes gets the other Joes. Storm Shadow and Spirit.
Is he going well?
Yeah, what? Spirit? He's locked in the WWC or whatever.
WWE what?
Storm Shadow and Spirit's fight again. Going back to what was it? Not the Pyramid of Darkness, but it was the Mass Device one where Storm Shadow and fight for the first time, and right. They both get kind of out of breath and they've been fighting for a long time. It's like, come on, guys, you're. You know, you're two guys that can fight all this, and then you're two strong guys that can fight, and nobody can win, and you're going against a ninja. Come on, and then all Zartan needs to do is just kind of tap him on the back, and Spirit's down.
Vulcan nerve pinch.
One thing I love about this issue is the cool vehicles. I love the Fangcopter.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite toys that I had as a kid was a Fangcopter.
Same thing.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. But I hated it once the missiles didn't stick on anymore because you were always on and off again.
Yeah, true.
And then like the labels, you know, as a kid, you're like, did anybody really put on the labels correctly?
I was a stickler for my labels, no pun intended.
Ah. See, well, obviously I wasn't. I was like, I would just want to play with this thing. So,
I think it was older, but yeah, I tried to fit them on as best as I could.
Yeah.
Again, details matter.
That's right.
But I love that. I love the Joe one, the Hawk or the Skyhawk. Oh, that's a cool vehicle too.
Very.
Yes. Yeah.
The other thing, a bit of the fluff. Somebody makes a comment. One of the Dreadnoughts makes a comment to.
Oh
yeah. Lady J. Have that in my notes too. What a nice bit of fluff you are.
And, and then just, I like it how Zartan becomes a baby.
Yeah, that's in my notes too.
Oh, come on, let me out of here.
All in all, it's an all right episode for me. Does it, I don't really have, I guess that's all I got to say about it.
All right, well, Jared.
I'm glad you asked.
Make that same mistake.
I have my trademark notes here. Happy to take you through it. Some of the similar things that Pat noticed. I think you're going to see a theme there. I will start off by saying that I felt like, of all the ones that we've looked at so far, I thought this one was sort of the least goofy, a little more wired tight, which is saying something, I guess. But there's still some fun stuff in there. Not as much low-hanging fruit as I've had in episodes gone by. But I actually marked down that I like the cool new, what I call the heyday opening. This is like the heyday of G.I. Joe. I mean, you saw Sergeant Slaughter in there. You saw like every vehicle possible in that opening. This is a new opening, right? Because I didn't remember the same one from what we've seen before, you know, the whole opening.
I thought this was the same. Which opening did you see?
Yeah,
you must have. And
my opening had Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, and no.
Paradromes on it.
Mine don't.
That's a later opening.
So maybe it was like a repeat that I was watching or something, and they changed whatever. Okay, so we saw different. That's interesting.
I watched the DVD, and it's got the standard.
Oh, that's weird.
Opening of Flint and all them.
Well, yeah, with Flint, and yep, that's the one I saw too.
I watched it online, but like, why would someone go to the trouble of editing in the old, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Dark web. Blame it on the dark web.
Dark web. Delvin was behind the whole thing.
Delvin gotcha. He's probably snickering right now.
So here goes Jared's ever famous notes. I put, so the Dreadnoughts are training the new troops. That makes sense. That explains a lot of things. From a military point of view, because I know that's why you have me on the show. He's like, no, you don't do that. Use tracer ammo. Tracer ammo is not more powerful than regular ammo. If it was, wouldn't everybody use it all? Why would you have the other ammo? Like, tracers let you, I guess, zero in on your target a little better.
Does this let you see like something or?
Yeah, you know, normally like on a M60 or whatever, you might like your every 5th or 10th round will be a tracer just so you have an idea where you're shooting. But like we say in the military, tracers work both ways.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you know where you're shooting, but now they know where you're shooting from. So that was like really weird. I thought the cartoon was trying to say tracer ammo was like more powerful, and I was like, that's weird. I don't know where they came up with that. Question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
Of the three Dreadnoughts, which one do you think is voiced by Doom Patrol podcast host Paul Hicks? Just something to consider.
I'm not going to say, it's not Buzzard. I don't think it's Buzzard.
No.
I'm tossed between Torch and
Ripper,
yeah.
I was leaning towards Torch.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to get with Paul on that.
Know what? If I'm going to say, if Paul's going to play somebody, I could see him. I'd see him as a Ripper.
Okay.
And Paul, if you're listening, let us know if that's the guy you'd be.
Yeah, we want to know. You can check him out.
I may have to Facebook and ask him.
You can check him out at the Waiting for Doom podcast. He paid me $20. Slip that in. I also have in my in my notes, Pat, I have moving sidewalks are for pimps. So you are right. Did anybody else? Oh, go ahead.
I actually had to go back when I'm like, did they just go on a moving sidewalk? So I rewound it.
For like 20 feet.
Yeah. And I ended up like, well, are they stupid enough to show them walking on it? Or no, they just stood still and they let it move them.
I guess if you establish moving sidewalks, you can save on animation so that people can stand still and still move from point A to point B. I love that Zartan's chest sounds like a lightsaber. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I always wonder why that lights up.
I don't know. That's a weird thing. This is maybe the most important note given my history on this show. I put just very simply, Eagle is greater than Parrot. The end. Because that eagle was awesome. That parrot is lame.
Yes.
Same note you. Oh, go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, Aaron, maybe you could do best Joe Pet.
Best Joe Pet.
You know, rank the Joe Pets.
For another episode, yeah. Maybe.
Freedom's got to be up there. I love the thing that you pointed out, Pat. Why does Cobra branding their bombs? That sucker's just going to explode. So why is there a Cobra emblem on their time bomb?
Branding is everything.
Apparently they care, right? So, all right, here's the question that I know whether you consciously or subconsciously asked this, but you asked it one way or another. When they threw Spirit into that cell with the French, that French dude,
right, Dr. Mateo.
I think we all wondered, whether consciously or subconsciously, why isn't Duke in that cell?
That is Duke's MO, yes.
It would have been so funny if he was just already there. Like they threw Spirit in, and he's like, Duke? And Duke's like, yeah, this is where I hang out on Thursdays, you know.
But it's funny just to watch, later on when they gas him with the laughing gas. You see the Spirit, so his face is so dead set, and he's just like, I'm Spirit, I'm with the Earth, I'm with all this, and then he's just laughing hysterically.
Zartan, total wuss. We had that same note, Pat. I put a note in here, legit note. That Storm Shadow is a stand up guy.
Oh yeah,
he's a stand up cat.
Even though he does work for the Cobras. He does have some honorable intentions, and
yeah, he's a bit all right, you know. Zartan, is he a vampire? I've heard people discuss this before. He hates that sunlight. My favorite two lines. I love Gung Ho's "Now I lay you down to sleep" line. That was cool. And then Pat mentioned this too. What a nice bit of fluff you are. Which I actually worked into my wedding vows. And that is all I have.
Very good. Very good notes. And again, my notes are very similar to your guys's. I do like how Gung-Ho set that timer out for Zartan to watch. And he actually, without Zartan seeing, set it ahead a couple of minutes. And that way he'd run out. Like AJ's already sitting out of the building. Gung-Ho's like, give me a couple of minutes. I'm waiting on something. We don't got time. Give me some time. I'm working.
He cracked like an egg, man.
Yeah, he did. Back to Spirit in the cage. That knife he had it in his headband.
Yeah.
It must not be a very big knife. I mean, to hide a hit knife. Because he didn't know he was going to be captured. Don't always have a knife in your headband.
Uncomfortable.
I don't know about that.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, very much so. As we talked about, the Zartan uses the Vulcan nerve pinch.
That's what my son said. My 11-year-old was watching with me. He goes, did he just Vulcan nerve pinch that guy? I guess.
I don't. It's like you don't really know what he does. He just kind of taps him on the back, or is, and
yeah,
he drops. He drops. He drops Doc. Spirit, and then he drops Doc that way too.
I will say this, and I don't know if the tap might not have been strong enough, but again, legitimacy. I was taking some combat training, and they were doing scenario stuff, and they said, a lot of guys like to come in and get to grappling early and like grab you around the waist and try to take you to the ground. Right. And they teach us to drop the hardest part, that pointy part of your elbow, right on the back of the spine. And so I've done it in real life. Cause I was sort of, combat with a buddy of mine in ROTC, and he grabbed me around the waist and I dropped it, and he, it was weird. Cause once you, a jar to the spine, he literally did fold right to the ground. I felt a little bit bad, but it was like one of those things that was cool because like you learn that it really works. And he wasn't permanently hurt. It's like a stunner, though. It doesn't really knock him out, but it's like it'll stun him out for about 4 seconds. And then I stabbed him with my knife, and then the cops came. It was weird, but yeah.
Did you keep that knife in your headband?
Yeah. Well, you brought it home. This is for Aaron. He brought it home, everyone. Good job.
And like I think it was Pat said, they had the Dreadnoughts training the Cobra agents. Isn't there some sort of boot camp they go through actually get some actual training? Or again, as Pat said, that does explain a few things.
Yeah,
you got the Dreadnoughts doing your training.
Well, that was Jared. I'll give him credit. Yeah, I won't steal.
I'd rather give you the credit though.
Yeah, give it to Pat. But no, yeah, now we understand why they can't hit the broadside of a barn.
I think he's better off not spending quite as much money on office furniture and tagging everything with Cobra logos.
Yeah.
spend a little more on training.
Yeah.
Hire a guy to actually do that instead of, you know, your dreadnoughts, you know.
Where is this base that, you know, they obviously had to fly planes there to get there, you know, that, right. that Freedom could fly that far to go get.
In short amount, yeah.
It's like, wow, that's a.
Don't look too closely.
Yeah. Well, again.
Well, you know, as they fly away, as Spirit flies away from the base, somehow he's able to shoot a missile and it takes out the entire base, it looks like. Whole thing comes tumbling down, burning. Mm-hmm. And it's, what's his name? My mind just blanked out.
Storm Shadow?
Storm Shadow, thank you. Wow.
Nightcrawler.
I just turned off.
James Bond. Yes. Dr. Alex.
Storm Shadow just comes walking away, looking back. We will meet again. I thought that was kind of strange how you took out the entire base of that one rattler. Again, maybe you don't put logos on everything, shorten your bases a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe just me.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They steal Cobra aircraft at will, too, I've noticed. They didn't like quick kick and them steal one in the last episode.
Yes.
It's just like, I will take any aircraft I want whenever I want.
But I do like, we did comment about the Cobra Troopers getting their training from the Dreadnoughts. I do like that they bring that full circle at the end.
Yeah, that was cool.
And we see the troopers using that training. Again, they still get their butt.
Yeah, it doesn't work for them.
They even used it properly, and it didn't pan out one bit.
So I don't think we can blame these troopers so much. It's probably the training we see. They did what they were told. It just didn't work. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe another problem Cobra has is whoever hires or new recruits. That one guy looked a little too pudgy to me. Yeah.
I almost put that in my notes. Like, I think I'm the guy on the far left.
I was going to say, I could be a Cobra trooper at this point. I mean,
pretty sure they are.
That's how desperate they are for men, as long as you're willing to believe in the cause and listen to numbskulls.
Some of those guys, your Dregnocks and your Zartans and Cobra Commanders, have incredible grip strength because they left just dangling off of helicopters.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I couldn't be high-ranking.
I wouldn't make it 200 yards before I had to fall off that helicopter.
I don't have Dr. Mindbender's body walk around, you know, with a cloak on, but...
Oh, you should. That'd be a good Halloween costume.
Scare the neighborhood kids. And... But yeah, overall, I say it was the cartoon. So I enjoyed the cartoon. That's what got me into the comics. That's what got me into comics in general. This would be my starting point, the G.I. Joe cartoon. But as we said, it's not as good as what Larry did with the comics. But as I talked with Buzz, again, I'm going to lay that out there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I love the name dropping. Good work, man. Good
me and Buzz were hanging out talking, you know, about Yo-Yo Cole. Again, it was a different creature. As he talked about, they didn't really know what the comic was doing. The comic didn't know what they were doing. They didn't talk with one another. So I guess they did get shipments of the comic in, but they kind of, it's pets inside. Let's give it to the kids or whatever. So they didn't want to copy anything that the comic was doing. So that's why we had the changes, like with Spirit and Snake, Spirit and Storm Shadow here instead of Snake Eyes, and like relationships between here it's Scarlet and the man that should be known as Captive. I mean, dude.
It's on his file card.
The comic with Snake Eyes.
His file card says he's a hostage. Specialist hostage.
All right, so unless you guys have anything else, I think we're going to end it here.
I just wanted to, when watching this episode, just came back in a memory that I have on this is owning and having the coloring books. Back in the day when the cartoon was out, I had like three or four different coloring books that I think were based off of the cartoon characters, the way they were drawn. I don't think they were really based off of the comic book, but it was more of the cartoon characters. And just looking, you know, at the characters now and the coloring that's in it, I could picture myself coloring with a crayon or a marker into those pages. I don't know. I must have got rid of them, but I wish I could find them because I thought, you know, back then they were really cool. And they had some really cool covers on those coloring books, too, that were drawn. So just a memory that pops in my head. I have to look and see if anybody's got those out there anywhere.
Since we're doing childhood memories, I'm pretty sure I had this episode of VHS because I feel like I've seen it 100 times. I think I did Because as you guys know, I went to that black hole of Germany where we didn't get a lot of American television. It was, so we ended up watching the same VHS stuff over and over again. Almost positive I had, because once I watched this one for the show, I was like, oh, I know this episode. Oh, so, yeah. That's one of my heavily repeated episodes.
Cool.
And yeah, just looking on eBay real quick, they do have G.I. Joe coloring books. The cheapest one I'm seeing is $15.
Oh, wow.
There's something that goes up to $90. So.
Oh. Are they from that era, though?
There's one 1989 vintage, but brand new giant coloring book, G.I. Joe. It's $18.99.
Cool.
There's one with, looks like Torpedo on the cover. So was it G.I. Joe tracing color coloring?
Does it got flippers or no
flippers?
Flippers. And actually, I guess this isn't Torpedo. I guess this is the original Joe. This is 1965.
Oh.
The Frogman cover.
I didn't have any cool G.I. Joe coloring books. I wasn't special like some people.
Yeah, I don't recall any of those myself.
Yeah, somebody was special.
No, I just remember seeing them, you know.
One from 1982 that's partially colored for $16.88. One from 1982 for $20.
Or what?
So yeah, they're out there.
No, I'll have to take a look and relive my childhood again.
There you go.
Just something, you know, that I got. I probably got it off of, you know, at a grocery store when the parents were shopping. You know, they send me to the grocery store. Either I'm looking at the comics and the coloring books and, you know, if I could grab one during that and get a little treat at that time, that's what I would do.
You didn't have any of these. That's really cool. I'm fell down the rabbit hole looking at them now. But I guess that's where we're going to end this episode. Jared, why don't you show the people out there where they can find you if they want to hear more of your insane ramblings?
I can do that. You can check me out on other podcasts over on the White Rocket Entertainment Network. That's sort of a hodgepodge of podcasts, but Van Plexico and I do a Babylon 5 show. We do a Quantum Leap show, and I have my own show, Comics with Normies, where I take normal people, have them read comics, and give me their impressions of them. We also have a standalone show on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. So if you like James Bond stuff, come check that one out. That's a lot of fun that we're doing as well. I'm on a couple other podcasts, but I'll let Pat get those. But if you want to hit me up personally, I'm at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter and Yard Sale Artist on Facebook. Patrick.
Very good. Pat, where can we find you at?
Well, like Jared mentioned, he is my host or co-host with me. My partner in crime in comic book crusading is on the Longbox Crusade. You can find us, his brother and Delvin, as we go through comic books in chronological order under Crusader Chronicles. Through my comic book collection. We're joined by other guests as well, too. Otherwise, we have Crusader or Longbox Crusade, and that will be a monthly show where we'll go a little bit more in-depth on just a random comic book in my collection, along with them bringing in something from their collection as well, too. And we'll go over the movies for that time period and music. And we have a lot of fun. We're just a bunch of fun guys that like to talk comics and everything else if you listen to the outtakes.
That's right.
Yes, I enjoy your shows. I enjoy the outtakes.
They get longer and longer.
But yeah. I think we just do it for the outtakes. So yeah, just to amuse ourselves. It's just four guys amusing themselves. So if you want to sit back and be a fly on the wall in that those conversations, take a listen.
I definitely recommend it. Well, until next time. I guess that's going to do it for us. Remember that knowing is half the battle, and
yo, Joe.
Doom Patrol.
1963.
Doom Patrol debut.
My Greatest Adventure, issue 80. 1964.
My Greatest Adventure, renamed Doom Patrol.
Issue 85. 1968.
Doom Patrol destroyed.
Issue 121. 1976.
The new Doom Patrol.
Showcase 94. 1987.
Doom Patrol Volume 2.
Kupperberg Lytle. 1989.
Morrison and Case.
Issue 19. 1993.
Pollack.
Issue 64. 2001.
Doom Patrol Volume 3.
Arcudi Hewitt. 2004.
Doom Patrol Volume 4.
Burn.
Shush.
2009.
Doom Patrol Volume 5.
Giffen Clark. 2012. 2013.
2014 2015 2016.
Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast, because we're waiting.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
Cobra's gotten through our front lines.
Destro's leading them.
Is there no stopping that man?
G.I. Joe can do it.
G.I. Joe against Cobra and Destro, fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there,
fighting for freedom over land and air.
Legend of G.I. Joe continues in Marvel Comics.
Hey, great treehouse.
I built it in 2 days, and I didn't even follow any plans. Why waste time?
Hold on!
Whoa!
Gotcha!
Quick kick! I guess I was in too big of a hurry.
Remember, anything worth doing is worth planning. If you don't plan...
You're out on a limb. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe, a real American headcast, is available monthly on iTunes, Stitcher, and at headspeaks.com. All characters and stories are owned and trademarked by their respective owners. We claim no ownership other than our opinions. All audio and images are used for entertainment purposes and falls under fair use. We make no money from this headcast. For more of the monthly G.I. Joe, check out the IDW series. For the stories we're covering, look for the comics and trade paperbacks. Let us know what you think. Send us an email letting us know your thoughts. Joe's dismissed.